Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our series on the book of Divrei Hayomim Bet. In today's shir, we study Perek Tet, Chapter 9. As usual, our series is sponsored with the help of the Cyprus Foundation in conjunction with the Tanakh Study Center, tanakh.org. Umakat Shva Shama et Shema Shlomo, Makat Shva, the Queen of Sheba, she heard about the name of Shlomo. In other words, Shlomo Melech's reputation was so well known that even in faraway countries such as Ethiopia, people heard about how great he was, about how great the country had grown, about his wisdom, about his wealth and prosperity. But tavol lenasot et Shlomo bechidot b'Yerushalayim. Therefore, she came to test out Shlomo with her riddles all the way to Yerushalayim. B'chayel kaved m'od, she came with a very heavy entourage. In other words, with a lot of soldiers and a lot of diplomats coming with her. Ugmalim nosim b'samim v'zahav l'rov v'evin yikara. Together, she came with camels carrying many spices and gold and precious stones. She came to Shlomo and she spoke to him all the questions that she had on her heart, things that were bothering her, and she decided she heard so many great things about this wise king, she came to check it out for herself. Pasuk Bet. Shlomo answered her all of her questions, everything she asked about, he had answers for. There was nothing hidden from Shlomo that he wasn't able to tell her. Vatera makat shva et chokhmat Shlomo, v'abayit asher bana. Makat shva saw Shlomo's wisdom, how great he was, how wise he was, and she also saw the house that he built, referring to the Beit HaMikdash and probably also to his palace. U'machal shulchano u'moshav avadav. How many people were sitting at the royal table? How many people he was feeding? And his servants. U'mamad meshartav u'mabushehem. And his servants and what they were wearing. U'mashkav u'mabushehem. The butlers that the king had, and their attire. Valioto asher yale beit Adonai, and the entourage used to go up to the God's house in a very nice procession. V'lo haya od bahruach, she had no breath left. Pasakei. V'tomer el ha-melech, she said to the king, Emet ha-davar asher shamati barzi, what I heard in my land about you is indeed true, al dvarecha v'chochmatecha, about you and about your wisdom. Lo ha-manti li divrayem, when I heard these rumors about how great you were, I didn't believe it. Until I came by myself and saw it with my own eyes. And from what I saw, I realized now that what I was told wasn't even half of the greatness of your wisdom. What we would say nowadays, I didn't even hear the half of it. You added to the rumor that I heard about you, I'm even more impressed than the rumors that I heard. And now she leaves him with a blessing. Ashrei anashecha, your men are fortunate. Ashrei avadecha, your servants are fortunate. Elu ha'omdim lefanecha tamid v'shomim et chochmatecha. Those who stand in front of you all the time and hear your wisdom, they're so lucky and fortunate to be so close to you. Now, before she leaves, she's going to bestow a blessing on the king, and this will be the focus of our shir, what she now is about to tell him. Yihi Adonai elecha baruch, Hashem your God, he should be blessed. Asher chafetz b'cha, the God of Israel, who wanted you, letitcha ukiso lemelech, who put you on his throne to become king. Makat Shva is saying that Shlomo is sitting on the throne of God. The God who desired to put you on the throne of the king, the kingdom that represents the God of Israel. And this is out of the love of the God of Israel to establish you as king forever. And he placed you, or put you, upon his nation as king. For what purpose? To do mishpat, to do justice, vitztaka, and righteousness. That's the conclusion of her blessing, and the conclusion of the main part of her visit. The question is going to be, why does the Tanakh go out of its way to tell us this story, both in Divrei Hayomim Bet, as well as in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph Perek Yud? From a certain perspective, this visit can be understood as a highlight of Jewish history. And let me explain why. In our study of Sefer Bereshit, we talked about the covenant that God makes with Avram Avinu, to become the forefather of a nation that will represent God. For that reason, God sets aside a land. He puts us through suffering in Egypt to redeem us, to take us out, that nation should learn how to be sensitive. Once we become a nation, we enter a covenant in Mount Sinai. After entering that covenant and accepting God's laws and the proper preparation, we enter the land of Israel and establish a nation. But in Sefer Bereshit, there was already a passage that explained what was the underlying purpose of God choosing that nation. Back in chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, in Sefer Bereshit, Chumash explained to the reader, before the destruction of Sodom, why was it that God picked Avram Avinu, and for what purpose did God bless him to become that great nation? Then we're told in Pasuk Yotet, in verse 19, in chapter 18 in Bereshit, Ki dativ leman asher yitzaved banav v'dbito acharav. Because God came to know Avram Avinu in order that he command his children and they their children, in other words, to begin this family tradition, lishmor derech Hashem, to keep the way of God, lasot tzedakah mishpat, to do justice and righteousness. Leman avi Hashem Avram et asher diber alav, in order that it should be fulfilled what God said about Avram Avinu to become this great nation. In other words, God's promise to Avram Avinu, v'etzchala goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation, in many ways is more of a challenge than a promise. In order to bring the concept of godliness and proper behavior to all mankind, God chooses a special nation that will serve as his model nation, to be this Or LaGoyim, to be this light to other nations. And if that nation indeed becomes prosperous, attains its borders, keeps God's laws properly, and hence makes a name for God, and God's reputation spreads throughout mankind, by doing so, we've achieved one of the main goals of the Bible, to bring godliness to mankind. The main character that has to characterize the behavior of this nation has to be acts of tzedek u'mishpat, justice and righteousness. God expects that from all mankind, from a special nation. He expects it even to a higher level, and that's why we have so many mitzvot, both to remember our need to act in a special way, and to remember our covenantal commitment, and core values, core laws, that explain to us to what level we have to act with justice and righteousness. When Malkat Shlomo comes to visit, what does she notice? She doesn't only notice the grandeur of Shlomo's kingdom, she also notices that the king was chosen to do mishpat and tzedakah. We saw that same pasuk in the summary of David's kingdom. There we were told, "Vahi David oseh mishpat and tzedakah l'chol amo." We saw that in Shmuel Bet Perchet pasuk Tetvav. David was known, and later his son Shlomo was known for doing tzedek u'mishpat. In fact, to prove that that was the message, if you open up Tehilim Ayin Bet, Psalm 72 in Tehilim, you'll see that that's exactly the message that David HaMelech leaves for his son Shlomo. And in many ways, this story is a fulfillment of that psalm in Tehillim. In Psalm 72, Ayin Bet, Pasuk Aleph, L'Shlomo, this is a psalm written by David for Shlomo. Elohim mishpatecha le'melech ten, v'tzidchatcha le'ben melech. Yedin amcha betzedek, v'aniyecha b'mishpat. You should judge your people with tzedek, and the poor people with mishpat. He continues, Yisu harim shalom la'am u'gvot b'tzedaka, yishpot aniyam, yoshir livnei avyon, v'deke oshek. All the same idea, a king who's going to utilize his power and his kingdom in order to do justice and righteousness to his nation, especially taking care of the poor. Later on in that Mizmor of Tehillim, in Pasuk Yod, Malchei Tarshish v'im mincha yashivu, Malchei Shva u'sva eshkar yakrivu. David HaMelech hopes that if he's successful, even the kings from as far away as Tarshish and the islands in the sea will bring you presents. And the kings of Shva, that's like Malkat Shva and Sva, will also bring you presents. All the kings will bow down to you. All the nations will serve you. Why? Why will they serve and look up to the king of Israel? I suggest you read that chapter in Tehillim. We can see the visit of Malkat Shva, as it's recorded in Malachim and Divrei Yamim, is a fulfillment of David's hopes in Tehillim Ayin Bet, and can even be seen as a fulfillment of God's goal for the Jewish people, as was explained in chapter 18 in Sefer Bereshit. This can also explain why there was a need for Shlomo to attain so much wealth and secure his kingdom and achieve such stability. That becomes a vehicle through which God's name can be known. No doubt a danger with all that prosperity, because that prosperity can lead to affluence and haughtiness, and leaving God, as Moshe Rabbeinu explains in chapter 8 in Sefer Devarim. On the other hand, if that prosperity is channeled in the proper manner, and the nation grows and follows God's laws, and does a good job of representing Him, there's a tremendous potential in that grandeur in relation to the effect that Am Yisrael can have on other nations. If we weren't known for our wisdom, and if we weren't known for our culture, and for our strength, both economic and military, no one would look up to us. But if we're known and respected for our nation in all realms of our actions, and in addition to that, we keep the Torah properly and teach the concept of God and talk about the idea of God and represent Him nicely, by doing so, we can accomplish one of the most important biblical goals that began in Sefer Bereshit and continues all the way through Divrei Hayamim. After this blessing, before Malkat Shva leaves, she gives the king a present. Vatitein lemelech mea v'sim kikar zahav. She gives the king 120 talents of gold. Uvsamim l'rov m'od, the even yikara, precious stones. V'lo haya kabosem ahu. There was no other perfume like the one that Malkat Shva gave to the king Shlomo. Pasuk Yud, v'gam avdei Chiram v'avdei Shlomo asher haviu zahav mi'ofer. In addition to the gold that was brought by Malkat Shva, the servants of Chiram, the king of Tzor, and the servants of Shlomo also brought gold from Ophir, like we saw in yesterday's chapter. Heviu atzei algumim ve'evin yikara. They also brought algum wood and precious stones. Algumim is probably the same as amogim, which is part of the coral reef in the area of Eilat. So coming from the Red Sea, they were able to bring precious stones and pieces of coral, which we're going to see they used to decorate the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk in Aleph, Vayasa melech et atzei ha'algumim misilot lebeit Adonai ulebeit HaMelech. Using these atzei algumim, he made special type of ramps for God's house and for the king's house, the Beit Hashem or the Beit HaMelech. V'kinorot unevalim lasharim. He also uses special wood, this algum wood, in order to make harps and lyres for the people who were singing. In other words, this wood was very good for musical instruments. V'lo niru kehem lefanim b'eretz Yehuda. Because these were imported from far away. Up until that time, there had never been musical instruments made with this type of wood. Now this was the first time that they were found in Yehuda. Pasuk Yudbet, V'melech Shlomo natan lemakat shva et kol chafsa asher shala. In consideration of all her gifts, Shlomo also gave to the Queen of Sheba all the things that she asked for. Mevad asher avia el hamelech, even worth more than the things that she brought for the king. V'tahfoch v'telech l'artza hivavadeh. After receiving all these gifts and all the things that she asked for, and all the advice she received, and all the wisdom she learned from Shlomo, they turned around and they went back to their land, she together with her servants. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hi mishkal hazav asher bal Shlomo b'shana achat, 666 kikrei zahav. The weight of gold that came to Shlomo every year from all the taxes he collected and from all the merchants that he sent to faraway lands came out to 666 talents of gold. In modern day terms, that would be an equivalent of about $700 million worth of gold. Levan mi'anshei hatarim v'socharim mevi'im. And that was in addition to the amount of gold that was brought by the different traders and merchants who traveled through the area. V'chol machei arav ufachot ha'aretz mevi'im zahav v'chesef l'shomo. And the kings from the different lands, from Arabia, and governors of different parts of the land, they also brought gold and silver to Shlomo. Now that he has all this gold, Shlomo is going to use this gold to make special ornaments which will look like armed guards to regard his palace and his throne. Pasuk Tetvav, Vayasa melech Shlomo matayim tzina zahav shachut. From this gold, Shlomo made 200 shields made out of beaten gold. 600 zahav shachut yale ala tzina achat. Each of these golden shields weighed 600 shekel each. U'shloshmot maginim zahav shachut. And 300 bucklers also made out of beaten gold. 300 zahav yale ala magin achat. 600 shekel of gold was the weight of each of these. Vayitneim ha-melech beveit yar ha-levanon. The king put them in his palace, which was known as the Palace of the Forest of Lebanon. Most likely that name came because they had to cut down a whole forest in Lebanon for the lumber that was necessary to build that palace. In addition to these fancy shields, now we're going to talk about the beautiful throne that Shlomo built. Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'yasa melech kisei shen gadol. The king made a very big ivory throne. V'yitzapehu zahav tahor. And he coated it with pure gold. V'shesh malot lekisei. There were 6 steps going up to the throne. The kibesh b'zahav lekisei ma'achazim, and a footstool at the bottom of the throne, and a slope in order to go up to that throne. V'yodot mizeh u'mizeh amakom ha'shavet, an armrest on either side of the throne. U'shnem arayot omdim etzel ha'yodot, and 2 lines stood by each of the arms of that throne. U'shnem asar arayot omdim sham al shesh hamalot mizeh u'mizeh, 12 lines were standing on either side of these 6 steps. V'lo nasachen L'cho mamlecha. There was no throne like this in any other kingdom. Nothing surpassed this ivory throne that Shlomo had made for himself. Pasuk Chaf. V'cho klei mashke ha-melech Shlomo zahav. All the vessels for drinking that the king had were all made out of gold. V'cho klei beit yar ha-levanon zahav sagor. All the vessels that were needed and used in the king's palace in beit yar ha-levanon also made out of pure gold. Ein kesef nechshav b'mei Shlomo l'muma. There were so many vessels made out of gold that no one even considered vessels made out of silver. Why did Shlomo have so much wealth? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ki oniot lamelech hochot Tarshish im avdei choram. Because the king's boats and ships traveled all the way to Tarshish, which is far out into the Mediterranean, together with the servants of Choram, the king of Lebanon. Achat l'shalosh shanim tavona oniot Tarshish. On the ships going to Tarshish, recall that Yonah was running away as far as possible, and therefore he boarded the ship on the way to Tarshish. Here we see that the ships from Tarshish only came once every 3 years. And this gives us another indication of how far away Tarshish must have been. Oniyat Tarshish is not only a name for a boat that goes to Tarshish, but a boat that's able to travel all the way to Tarshish. So this fleet that came from Tarshish every 3 years, Nosot Zahav Kesef, Shen Habim V'Kofim V'Tukim, carried with it vast amounts of gold and silver, together with ivory and apes and peacocks. These animals, Kofim and Tukim, must have been very special at that time in the land of Israel. Pasuk Chabet, we summarize now. Vayigdal HaMelech Shlomo Mikol Machei HaAretz. Shlomo, the king, grew greater than any other king in the land, Le'osher V'chochma, in his wealth and his wisdom. V'chol Machei HaAretz Mevakshim Et Pnei Shlomo. All the kings of the land were all requesting to come visit and see King Shlomo. Lishmo Et Chochmato Asher Natan Ha'elim B'libo. They come and listen to his wisdom, the wisdom that God gave in his heart. Example that we saw of a king visiting was the visit of the queen of Sheba in the beginning of the chapter, and we also saw that was the hope of his father David in Tilim Ayin Bet. V'heim Mevim Ish Minchato Klei Chesef V'Klei Zahav U'Slamot Neshek U'Fsamim Susim U'Fradim Davar Shana B'Shana. And all these kings, when they came to visit, they would bring a gift with them, vessels made out of gold and vessels made out of silver. They brought robes, they brought weapons, they brought spices, horses and mules. Every year they brought their due amount to the king. Pasuk Chafei, Vayi L'Shlomo Arbat Alafim Uriot Susim U'Markavot. Shlomo had 4,000 stalls for his horses and for his chariots. U'Shneimasar Ela Parashim, 12,000 horses. Vayi Nichem Barei HaRechev. He put all these chariots and horses in the special garrison cities built for them. V'im HaMelech B'Yushalayim. And there's also a special garrison for horses and chariots with the king in Yushalayim. Vayi Moshe B'Chol HaMelechim. He surpassed all the other kings and ruled over them. Min HaNahar Vat Eretz Plishtim. From the Euphrates River, all the way up north, all the way down to the land of the Plishtim in the south, Vad Gvul Mitzrayim, all the way to the border with Egypt. Vaytein HaMelech Et HaKesef Yerushalayim Kavanim. There was so much silver in Yerushalayim, silver was considered like stones. Vet HaRazim Natan Keshikmim, Asher B'Shvila L'Rov. And cedar wood was so plentiful in the land, it was like sycamore wood, which is plentiful in the Shvila, in the lowlands of Israel. That's how plentiful the cedar wood was throughout the country. Umotzim susim mitzrayim lishlomo mikol haaretzot. They also imported and exported horses from Egypt and from all the lands. And as we saw earlier in Divrei Hayamim, we also exported some of those horses and traded them with countries farther to the north. V'shar divrei Shlomo harishonim v'achronim. The rest of the stories and tales of Shlomo from the early years of his reign and the later years of his reign. Haloim tuvim adivrei Natan hanavi. They can be found in the works of Natan the prophet. Ve'anevuot achi ha'shiloni, and also in the prophecies of Achia Shiloni, which we don't quote in the book of Divrei Hayamim, but is quoted in the book of Balachim. That's the story of the revolt against Shlomo and about Shlomo's bad behavior by taking too many wives. Uvechazot Yaado Hachose al Yerovam ben Nevat, and also on the prophecies of Yaado the seer about Yerovam ben Nevat and about his revolt against Shlomo. And finally, to summarize, Vayimloch Shlomo b'Yerushalayim v'alkol Yisrael 40 shana. Shlomo's kingdom over Yerushalayim and over all of Israel was 40 years. Vayishkav Shlomo im Avotav. Shlomo slept with his fathers, means Shlomo died. Vayikbaru, then he was buried. Be'ir David Aviv, in the city of David, his father. Vayimloch Rechavam beno Tachtav, his son Rechavam succeeded him as king. That concludes our study of chapter 9. That concludes the glorious years of Shlomo. In chapter 10, we'll begin to see the story of Rechavam and the split of the kingdom.